But then I checked the box for Ted Cruz.
Let me be very clear.
As it usually does, it comes down to Florida. It always comes down to Florida.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:09, and welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's March 10th, 2016. We're getting closer and closer to spring. Feels like it outside in Chicago. It's going to be in the 60s again. Nice weather is here. Hopefully, it's here to stay. And the markets aren't so bad this morning either. Let's get right to your intel. Mixed markets today. Overseas, European markets are a little bit nervous ahead of the European Central Bank's decision today. The European Central Bank is going to be deciding how to chart the future for the economy of Europe. Many people are watching that, not only in Europe, but around the world. As Vic mentioned, the stock markets are sort of lackluster this morning. Mixed Asian markets are higher and lower depending on where you look. The futures here in the United States are pointing toward an open that could be higher later as well. But European markets are all lower today. Among the biggest losers so far, the FTSE and also the DAX in Germany. Let's get right to some of the news of the day. Aside from the Asian stock markets this morning, we are watching for a couple of reports. The Labor Department will release the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. The Treasury Department is going to release some federal budget data for February today. Freddie Mac also has the weekly mortgage rates. Federal Reserve will release its quarterly report on household net worth. A lot of things that could drive the markets today. Speaking of the markets, NASDAQ says it's buying three options exchanges from Deutsche Börse Group for $1.1 billion to make its business more efficient and expand its offerings. Two Cayman Island-based financial firms have pleaded guilty in New York to conspiring to hide more than $130 million in offshore bank accounts from the Internal Revenue Service in order to avoid for people to evade paying U.S. taxes. Also today, China's inflation accelerated 2.3% in February, driven by a jump in food prices, but fell below the government's official target for the year. If you're watching some other stories around the country this morning, the big news out of the U.S. and the Germany is the head of Volkswagen USA has resigned. That announcement came yesterday amid the fallout from that emissions scandal. Michael Horn stepping down. No word yet on who is going to take over permanently. But believe it or not, Audi stock is up this morning, and Audi sales are actually higher. They much higher than they were last month, but the head of Volkswagen, if that's how you say it, USA, is out. Also, there's a new Honda model today that's being rolled out in Japan. The new car is called the Clarity. It's first of its kind, five-seater. Here in Illinois yesterday, the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition announced its annual Illinois Innovation Index. It's a report that looks at startups in the state and innovation and their connections to universities. And based on data self-reported to those state universities, this report has found that over the past five academic years, students and faculty at Illinois universities created 611 startups through university technology licensing, and lots of those stayed right here in Illinois. 73% of active startups were based in Illinois. Let's bring in the president and CEO of the group. It's again called the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition. Mark Harris is with us this morning on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for being with us this morning. This is a positive report for innovation and startups. Give us a thumbnail of what it has found.
Yeah, so just for level set, the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition, we're a member-driven nonprofit. We created about 25 years ago to increase research and tech-based economic development in the state. We're based at 1871 in the Merchandise Mart. And yeah, we put out this publication created about 5 years ago called the Illinois Innovation Index to really measure and benchmark Illinois' innovation performance. So we looked at things like STEM degree production and talent and R&D investments. And with this report, really looking at the role universities are playing in the economy, and particularly what we've seen is an uptick in the level of entrepreneurial activity happening across our universities. So we've aggregated, and many universities are our members, aggregated totals from across both public and private institutions. We looked at the number of startups being created by students and faculty over the last five academic years, and this has included both the tech transfer, so companies that are spun out of university research, as well as those that are coming out of Entrepreneurship Center programs that aren't necessarily connected to university research. So yeah, as you said, we had about 611 startups that were created in the last 5 years, which was the highest since we've done this survey. Really, the last couple of years, when we've tracked this at the level of granularity we have, what's especially relevant is those that are still active and those that are still in the state. So about 500 do remain active, and 70% of those are here in Illinois still, and that's up from last year when we reported this. And I think it has shown that startups that are connected to your universities are here and they're staying in the state to grow. Some have found capital, so we looked at the number of dollars raised, about $350 million that we were aware of, which includes venture capital. University has some great seed funding mechanisms, as well as other grant programs. And of those that have raised funding, about 62% have stayed in the state. So it just illuminates the role that universities are playing in driving new companies and new inventions that are going to create jobs here in Illinois.
We're going to get into the guts of this report in our next segment here on The Opening Bell. Lots of questions for you about this. We're talking with Mark Harris, the president and CEO of the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition, the Illinois Innovation Index released yesterday. We'll continue with our conversation here on 720 WGN, The Opening Bell. First, though, traffic. Here's Mary Vandeville.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian shares are mostly higher after a surprise rate cut by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand and Wednesday's bounce in oil markets. Benchmark U.S. crude picked up $1.79 yesterday to close at $38.29 a barrel. Wall Street opened lower, but gains for energy companies led to advances throughout the day. The Dow rose 36 points to close at 17,000. The Nasdaq composite increased 25 points. The S&P 500 climbed 10. Vermont joins four states and the District of Columbia in now guaranteeing paid sick leave for public and private sector workers. Vermont's new law requires employers starting next year to provide a minimum of 3 paid days off a year for employees to use when they're sick or to care for a child or a family member. And it's a first from Honda, a 5-seat, zero-emissions vehicle. The Honda Clarity will go on sale in California later this year. The car runs on energy created from a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen. It emits only water. Going green isn't cheap, though. The Clarity sticker will be about $60,000. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 521. This morning we're talking about the Illinois Innovation Index, the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition, a non-profit, non-partisan organization that oversees, that cultivates technology-based economic development throughout Illinois. Out with its annual report. We're talking with the president and CEO, Mark Harris. By the way, you can find more information at istcoalition.org. Mark, I was surprised by some of the numbers in terms of investment and also the number of companies that are behind what your organization is doing. At a time when we hear nothing but negative news about Illinois, this seems like a bright spot for the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it speaks to the many years of investments our universities have made. I mean, we have world-class public and private University of Illinois and the system there, Northwestern, University of Chicago, IIT, and a lot of them have thought about how they harness their assets across campus. So thinking about that, not only their business school students, but engineering and biological sciences and law students. And so many have developed programs to really facilitate and support new companies. So if you think of companies like Grubhub and Braintree, which came out of the University of Chicago's business plan competition, you know, some of the biggest tech stories in Chicago have really emanated from universities. So there are really these gems in the city and in the state that we have that we want to continue to harness.
The other part of this is the funding. Schools have been challenged with their own funding with Illinois' budget crisis. Obviously, some of these funds are coming from other places that are protected from that. But this is always a big area of improvement, right? More funding is always needed. How is that going with the schools and universities?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. I mean, we have a lot of great companies that are indeed getting venture capital funding, and I think oftentimes is they can relocate and go closer to where funding is. So I think what we're seeing is that there is not only necessarily greater availability of capital here, but companies that are raising venture that are staying in the state. There's other mechanisms, of course, angel investing, university seed funds. So as we highlight in the report, University of Illinois, University of Chicago, and Northwestern have all developed some seed funding to really help with proof of concept and getting some of these early nascent ventures off the ground. And then there's a federal program called SBIR, STTR, which also helps to translate more complex companies. I mean, these are long plays. Sometimes they're in the lab and in the kind of commercialization process for 5 to 10 years. So it's a long view, but I think these are investments that are important to be making. And I think universities are certainly stepping up to think about how they best can create and nurture some of these entrepreneurs.
We mentioned earlier that 73% of the active startups are still based in Illinois, up from 68% from last year. What is it that is driving that other portion of that pie to leave Illinois, and what can we do to keep them here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, students and the workforce is mobile. So companies, you know, leave the state, but particularly university students, you know, for many reasons. Some could be international students and they're going back home. Some are from other parts of the country. So I do think that, it's, you know, we can't anticipate to think every company that's coming out of our universities is going to stay here. But with that being said, I think clearly talent is one of the top deciding factors in where to stay and grow. So a great example that we also highlight in the report is CleverSafe. So obviously one of the biggest stories out of Chicago Tech last year, and it sailed to IBM for $1.3 billion. And when you hear Chris Gladwin speak, who's a member of our board, he talks about the level of talent that he found here in Chicago, not only from IIT, but also University of Chicago and the computer science students he recruited there. And for us to be a world leading tech hub, I think it will be driven by the number and quality of our graduates and the talent that we have here, not only on the entrepreneurial side, but on the technical side. So the more we cultivate and really nurture, I think, some of our university programs and driving this talent here, and knowing that they can stay and work on, you know, really groundbreaking companies here in Chicago, I think the more we're going to have more density of these companies stay.
I don't know if you saw the headline from the Huffington Post recently. I believe it was just a day or so ago. But the headline says, companies like Facebook should pay attention to what's happening in Chicago. That's besides your report and the good news it has, that's some pretty good pub for Illinois and Chicago, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think Chicago, maybe we don't do the best job celebrating all of our successes, but and despite some of the budget challenges we're having. But, you know, we're really an emerging tech center in terms of our entrepreneurial activity, in terms of the great Fortune 500 community, a lot of the sectors we have. I mean, no one sector makes up 13% of the economy. And oftentimes when you develop new disruptive companies, they're able to cut across sectors. And so I think that we have a lot of assets here that we want to continue to build, and really Chicago being another growing and great tech hub in the world.
Mark Harris is the president and CEO of the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition. You can find this report at IllinoisISTCoalition.org and follow them on Twitter at @ISTCoalition. Mark, thanks for being with us in the opening bell.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's 527 now on 720 WGN. Over to the newsroom now. Vic Vaughn standing by with a look at what's coming up in the news. Vic?
Today, Steve, it's all about candidates running for office, and both at the federal level and also locally, with the probably higher than normally profiled race for Cook County State's Attorney. We have a quick preview on what's happening in Chicago today with each race coming up.
Stay with us. This is the opening bell at 527.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Booking your next vacation right from your mobile device. Whether it's snowboarding in Colorado or trekking through Europe, Destinations on Google hopes to be your ultimate vacation planner. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler explains.
You don't need a separate app to do this. You go to a Google search and you type in France destinations or Europe destinations, and it will give you a snapshot.
That snapshot will include things like suggested itineraries, hotel prices, the best dates to travel based on prices and the weather.
And you can also, through this experience, you can filter. If you're looking to go hiking in Europe, your destinations will be different, and it'll give you kind of the best, most popular destinations.
Recent search data from Google has shown a 50% increase in travel-related questions on mobile phones. So, Tyler says, creating a one-stop shop for mobile booking is a natural progression.
We're putting this all in one place to really make it an easy experience for users.
And it's free. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 538. At a time when many retailers are having difficulties, three stores, Abercrombie & Fitch, American Eagle, and Urban Outfitters, have somehow been able to lure in shoppers and get them to, get this, pay full price. Christina Gustafson is a content editor and a retail reporter at CNBC.com, and she's with us this morning on The Opening Bell. You can follow Christina on Twitter at Christina Gustafs. Christina, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, so these retailers are doing, getting full price, and they're making a profit. How are they doing it?
Well, I would have to say they're doing less promotions. I wouldn't want to go out there and say that they're totally weaning people off of them. But yeah, we've seen some pretty good results, relatively speaking, this past quarter from Urban Outfitters, Abercrombie, and American Eagle. There's a lot of things going on at these three retailers. Namely, they've been focusing a lot on their product, revamping the product, bringing some excitement back into the store, and it seems like it's finally starting to pay off. Abercrombie in particular, as I'm sure you know, had been struggling for quite a while, and they actually posted their first same-store sales gain in almost 4 years during the past quarter, so a big improvement there.
And it's surprising, too, for Abercrombie & Fitch, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but weren't they voted recently the worst company in the United States?
I actually had not heard that.
Yeah, I think there was like some survey that is out every year. It's a global survey, and they were one, if not the worst, one of the worst. And this is a consumer survey, so that's pretty good for them. And they've had their trouble. I mean, they had that magazine for a long time that always got parents upset. But American Eagle and Urban Outfitters are two brands, too, that are doing well. Are these brick-and-mortar sales or people doing online shopping or both?
You know, it's a little bit of both. At Abercrombie in particular, they have a pretty high penetration compared to the rest of the industry, and it makes sense. You know, their target demographic is teens. Obviously, these kids have been growing up basically out of the womb with their iPhones, so it makes sense that they would be tending to shop on the web a little bit more, but, you know, also seeing some strength at bricks and mortar as well.
So what is their secret here? Because there are other retailers that, you know, I'm thinking of The Gap and some of the others that really like to make some money.
Yeah, so I think basically it all comes down to product. We've seen a lot of that changing at Abercrombie over the past couple quarters. We've also seen a lot of changes in their marketing message. So going back to what you were saying about the magazines being a little over-sexualized, they're really stepping away from that message and really trying to be more inclusive of all teenagers. And at American Eagle, we've also seen a lot of innovation with the product. So I'm sure you may have heard that denim is starting to make a little bit of a comeback, and they're pretty innovative over their well-fitting jeans. So that's really been boosting them, along with their Aerie line, which is kind of a less sexy take on the Victoria's Secret pink line. They're all about embracing a young girl's body and making them feel good about themselves. So that's really been helping them as well.
Talk to me about the situation at Wet Seal. CEO Melanie Cox has sort of been out in the front, and you talk about her in your most recent article about this. Is she leading the charge, and is there something happening there that everybody else should be aware of?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So they actually got bought out of bankruptcy about, I believe it was a year ago, by Versa Capital. And so she took over the team there. And she, again, is really just changing the message there. She's trying to bring the brand back to its heritage, which is kind of a SoCal cool. You know, I was speaking with her a couple of days ago, and she was saying a lot of the trends right now that are popular, that whole Coachella look, festival vibes, that's actually what the brand is known for. Teens these days are really looking to celebrities, looking to Hollywood to get style inspiration. So she was like, you know what? We need to go back and tap into our heritage, what we were known for, do away with this sexy image, because the girls these days just aren't responding to that. And, you know, so far it seems like it's working for them.
How much is the overall economy, U.S. economy, playing into some of this? Because, you know, consumers have a little bit more money in their pockets because of gas prices. Are parents giving their kids money to go shop at these places? Is that an impact at all?
Well, one of the analysts I was speaking with was actually pointing to that as one of the issues with getting these teen retailers recharged, and the fact that, you know, mom and dad aren't as open to, hey, here's $20, go do with it as you please at the mall. So that's another headwind for them going forward. And as you saw with the broader retail earnings in the past quarter, there's still a little bit of struggle on both the high and low end. I like to point to Nordstrom as an example of that, because their Rack label, which is focused, you know, more at the discount shopper, it didn't do so well in the fourth quarter, but neither did its full line store. So that just kind of shows you it's not necessarily isolated to one income group.
Are the retailers that you've singled out here, again, Abercrombie, Fitch, American Eagle, Urban Outfitters, do they have stuff on their shelves? Because that's been a big complaint among consumers is that they go to these brick-and-mortar stores and they can't find anything.
Well, it's funny because it was actually the opposite for a lot of these guys, and that was leading to a lot of the promotions that we had been seeing. But over the past couple months, they've really done a good job of getting their inventories in line. That is part of the reason why you saw them having to do less promotions in the fourth quarter. And analysts are saying that things are looking good going into the first quarter. So obviously, it's still early. We just started getting spring deliveries, you know, at the end of February, beginning of March, but so far it's looking like there is a chance that we could be avoiding those promotions again in the first quarter.
And so this is something that you guys at CNBC do a good job of, and that's sort of directing investors to the places where their money is going to do well. Is this a place that investors might want to look at, these retailers?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because you would think with all the negative news out there that the stocks would be doing pretty poorly. But actually, if you look at the S&P retail index, it's up almost 4% so far this year. So obviously outperforming the broader S&P. So it seems like there are things there that people are liking.
Christina Gustafson is a content editor, retail reporter at CNBC.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Christina, G-U-S-T-A-F-S. K-R-Y-S-T-I-N-A. We want to get people to the right Twitter account. Christina, thanks for being with us today. And as always, we hope to have you back on the Opening Bell.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. By the way, here's the story that I was talking about when we were mentioning Abercrombie and Fitch. The report, the Hollister is the company that scores the world's retailers and the U.S. retailers. It's 22 specialty retailers are surveyed by Hollister, and Abercrombie received 65 points on a 100-point scale. Customer satisfaction was determined by benchmarks like the store's variety of merchandise, other stuff, but they were the second worst-ranked company. Advance Auto Parts was the biggest. So that's story in a nutshell. We will link you to Christina's stories on this retail sector, and we will have more on the Opening Bell coming up, including what you might need to know if you're planning a spring break trip to the airport. TSA has some advice for you because things are going to get crowded. We will chat with our ABC News correspondent on this in our next segment. Right now, though, it's time for traffic. Here's Mary Vandeville.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. On the Dow futures this morning, they're pointing toward a higher open on Wall Street when the opening bell rings later. Dow futures up 39, S&P futures and NASDAQ futures higher as well. Crude oil is trading lower in pre-market this morning, $38.19 a barrel. Let's get a look at some of the other commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. It turned out to be quite a day in the hog futures trade yesterday, as lean hog futures for animals that will be delivered to market in July and August hit all new contract highs yesterday. Investors already betting on tighter supplies being available for the summer grilling season. And Dennis Smith, the livestock specialist with Archer Financial Services, described yesterday's hog trade this way. Wow. Evidently, the Goldman roll was completed early, and April hogs soared to sharply higher levels, penetrating resistance and posting a new high settlement. April hogs ended up $2.40 at 72.17 a hundredweight yesterday. The nearby April cattle contract down just 12 cents for the day at 137, and the April feeder cattle contract gained 27 cents for the day. It ended the trade at 159.05. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. The chairman of the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, was on Capitol Hill this week and says that American air travelers may soon have to pay more to cover the cost of security. The Department of Homeland Security asking Congress to authorize an increased fee for travelers and for airlines as well. The Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, told a Senate committee more money is needed to help keep airline passengers safe. It'll go to pay for aviation security, border entry at airports, and those who use the system that is for pre-screening. It'll be about $5.60, from $5.60 to $6.60. $2.60. There could be long lines, too, as you head off on spring break. The TSA is warning passengers to be ready to see long lines, especially at those airports where lots of younger travelers are. ABC News correspondent Kenneth Moten is with us from New York this morning. And, Kenneth, this is a warning that everybody should take notice of. What is the TSA saying?
Well, Steve, a record number of people are expected to head off for spring break and travel during the spring break season of, you know, March to April. We're talking about 65 million air travelers, and everybody's heading south, you know, to Florida airports, Orlando, Fort Myers, Fort Lauderdale. Those are expected to be the busiest airports. But remember, the TSA has been under intense scrutiny, especially in the past year after those mock explosives and bombs got through many of those TSA checkpoints and many of the airports in this country. And so when those travelers line up at those TSA checkpoints, they should expect to wait quite a bit of time in those checkpoint lines. I think the averages are up anywhere from 3 minutes to 6 minutes. It doesn't sound like a lot, but in that time that you're waiting to get to your flight, the averages are definitely up for people waiting in line.
The TSA is also dealing with obviously more passengers, but there are fewer of them, fewer of the screeners, right?
There are fewer screenings, and that's the thing the TSA is trying to do now, is work with the airlines and the airports to figure out the busiest times, to figure out when they need to get screeners at certain points and choke points at the airports. And that's the thing is that I actually was surprised about it, that organization wasn't already there. But I think that's something that Peter Neffinger, the new TSA administrator, has been looking at, is how to work with those airlines to really ease and have some relief at those TSA checkpoints.
Is there any sense that the TSA is going to get a handle on the big crunch period? I mean, or is it going to be, are we going to see like shutdowns of security lines as we get toward the end of March when this big spring break crunch is?
I think what they're doing right now is they're warning folks. They're warning travelers to get to the airport. Now they're telling folks, get there 2 hours before a domestic flight. It used to be, you know, you could get there maybe an hour before. I have to admit, sometimes I cut it a little close myself with 45 or 35 minutes as long as I have my boarding pass in hand. But I think they're telling folks now, they're warning people, they're in testimony on Capitol Hill, they're sending out messages through TSA.gov, telling folks, make sure you give yourself enough time to get through those long lines. And do things like TSA pre-check. Full disclosure, I have TSA pre-check, and I can say that getting through some of those TSA checkpoints has been a little bit more of a breeze. You know, I don't have to take off my shoes. I can do certain things that the other folks have to go through a little bit more tougher screening to go through, but it's a little easier. So do things like that to make sure you're prepared to get through those lines just a little quicker and a little faster.
Is there one airport over another that's going to see worse of a problem this spring and summer?
Well, for spring break, you know, it definitely is always those Florida airports. You know, everybody wants to go to Miami. Everybody wants to go to Tampa, to the Panhandle even, for those big spring break destinations. But I will say that, you know, when it comes to spring break season, it's obviously not the young folks, it's not those college students who are impacted. It's anyone traveling during that time, because these airports will be extremely busy.
Any other tips that the TSA is offering besides the pre-screening and some of the things you've already mentioned that will make this process go faster?
Well, it's the rules that we should all know when it comes to air travel, which is, you know, making sure, you know, you don't have more than the liquid ounces you're supposed to have, making sure you obviously don't have any type of hazardous material or anything that could be perceived as a threat in your check luggage or your carry-on. And so there are certain just common sense things as well. But TSA says it never hurts to go on their site, get a little refresher, get a little reminder about what to do to make sure that you get through those TSA checkpoints easier.
And it never hurts to pack a little extra patience.
Exactly.
ABC News correspondent Kenneth Moten with us this morning from Washington on the TSA warning passengers to be ready for long lines this spring break season. And that's the opening bell for today. Our producer is Mary Sandberg. Production help from Ross Cochran. Our engineer is Ben Cortez. Thanks to all, as always. The Steve Cochran Show's next big show coming up. Mayor Emanuel on the show. We'll check in with Steve and the gang next. And we will be back bright and early tomorrow morning with the opening bell. It's 5:57.